Good evening, UCC. Welcome to My Life in a Suitcase. It's 4 o'clock in the studio today, and I'm your host, Manisha, and I have an amazing, and yet and again, an amazing woman with me today on the show. Her name is New Florence Gilson. New, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm so excited that you are here with us on the show today. So, Neo Florence Gilson is a Cork-based poet, storyteller, and singer from South Africa. In 2021, she was awarded the Play It Forward Fellowship, and she presented public readings at the Dublin Literature Festival, Trafica Radio Europe's Migrant Authors in the Ireland, the Cork International Poetry Festival, West Cork Literature Festival, and the Cork Festival of Literature's Breaking Ground Writers. In 2022 and 2023, she was awarded the Studios of Sanctuary, or Sample Studios Artist Residency. New has appeared in Corkadorka Theatre Company and Outlandish Theatre Platform Productions. Her writing has been published in The Stinging Fly, Storm's General Poetry, Prose and Visual Art, Irish Weekend Examiner, and Golden Shovel Poetry. Jukebox Belfast. She obtained the Dignity Partnerships Visibility Award 2023 for a poet from the migrant community who is contributing to social change. Now you know why I said three times amazing. It's really, really an honor for us, Neo, that you are with me on the show today, and very, very welcome. How do you feel about the weather today?
Thank you. The weather is actually good. When a person is indoors,
yeah,
it seems like it's always worse. It's the worst weather out there. But once you get out and start moving, then you just get to the rhythm.
That's true. And you know, you being a poet, I'm sure this weather is, you know, lovely. It's romantic, poetic weather. So that's amazing. So before we start the show and start chatting with Neo, let's listen a lovely, lovely song from Miriam Makeba, and then we will return back in a few minutes and we'll be chatting with amazing Neo. So enjoy the song and we'll talk soon.
Here's a song that comes from Tanzania. Malaika. Roho yangu, nashindana malisi na West Oakley. Yes, I love you, my angel. I said I love you, my angel. Ninga kuwa wa malaika. Ninga kuwa wa malaika.
Wow, Neil, that was such an amazing song. And me and you, we really enjoyed it in the studio. And you have such a lovely song, singing voice.
Thank you.
It's amazing. one of the reasons that I really love this show and hosting My Life in a Suitcase is every guest teaches me something new. The world is such an extravagant and amazing and lovely, huge place. But I always feel that we all have just a small world around us, and we only get to know that world, and that keeps us from knowing how amazing the other world outside that circle is. And to me personally, My Life in a Suitcase has brought that extra part of the world to my knowledge that I didn't know about. Mm. Like, I never knew a singer by name of Miriam Makeba. And one of our, one of the guests on our show, Joe, and you know Joe, like, she's a friend to both of us.
Yeah.
Joe introduced Miriam Makeba to me. And when I listen to her songs, the voice that she has, it just pierces through your heart. Though I don't understand many of them, you know,
yeah.
But it's just poetry and love and music is an international language. You just need to feel it. So I'm very lucky and privileged to have this show that I can meet so many lovely people. People like you, you know, like we both come from a very, very different backgrounds. But if you start digging, we are both the same in the core, you know? So that's amazing. So tell us about yourself. Who actually Neil Florence Gibson is?
I am originally from South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm in Cork now for 5 years.
Wow.
And I came to Sixth Century in Cork. And I must say that I love this place, Cork. I just like its pace. I just like the friendliness of the people, and I like the culture,
yeah.
Because one gets to the opportunity to share different cultures, so it's kind of like a great exchange. So I feel right at home here in Cork. And what also I love about Cork is what reminds me of home, it's the, especially in Cove, the colorful buildings, which look similar to the buildings in Cape Town, also similar in architecture. So I am a poet, I'm a singer,
mm-hmm.
and I'm a storyteller, and I have a heart for women developmental programs and youth. So in a nutshell, that's me.
That's amazing. That's extravagant. And you know, you're a very gentle soul, and I just feel someone who is engaged in poetry and storytelling and singing. All these arts need a very gentle soul. Rough people cannot do that. Rough people go to construction. So, I'm amazing that, you know, I feel that how amazing it is, that you ended up, that your life journey brought you to Cork, and that to Cove. Cove really is, a very poetic city, you know, like I personally, I love Cove, and whenever I feel blue, I just go there and I just sit there by the sea, and I just, the Cove city has this amazing tinge of, you know, feelings to it. Yeah. And I really love that. So tell us about your journey. How did you, like, South Africa in our Ireland, and now you're doing so much amazing work in Ireland. Like, tell us more about your journey, especially about life and poetry and, you know, like all these fields and, you know.
I am a poet by default,
mm-hmm.
and I always loved reading, which was instilled by my grandmom, who was a school principal, and always used to visit the library, art galleries, and from the maternal side, she's a ballroom dancer and a singer.
Amazing.
And she used to act as well. So yeah. My dad was a ballroom dancing instructor. That's where they met.
Yeah.
And so I was always surrounded, and my uncle played the guitar.
Mm-hmm.
So I was always surrounded by the arts and music. And my other uncle was a painter.
Yeah.
An artist. That's where the influence for the love of the arts mm-hmm. came. And my journey, yeah, I never thought that I would really end up in Cork Island or Dublin Island.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that my life in a suitcase started in my career, whereby I used to be a locum. So you would, get a job or placement.
Yeah.
From one city to the next within my own country, to a mining town, to a city, to a rural area.
Yeah.
So that's how my life is in a suitcase started. And yeah. also during the holidays, because I'm the first grandchild
mm-hmm.
from both sides,
yeah.
from mom and dad. So it would be like the family would actually be kind of like fighting who's having me for the holidays, for the school holidays. So that's where my life. But then as life would have it, because of the turbulent situation in my own country, I had to leave and seek refuge. And luckily at that time, even now, although how can I say, border restrictions and because of immigration rules, laws and all this, the turmoil that the world is in, they are changing, the dynamics are changing. But at the time when I left, Ireland was a place where I didn't need to apply for a visa.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that I knew about Ireland except from books. It's not that I had planned to come to Ireland, but it was needful for me to take flight and I ended up here.
And Ireland is a very, very kind place. Ireland has given most of us sanctuary. It doesn't matter what the background, whatever the story, but Ireland has become like, you know, that mother who just gives us love and hug and is like, come here. You're safe, and we are good people. We accept all. We are there for you, and that is such an amazing experience. So, tell us about your journey with poetry and writing. So, you have you always been writing poetry, or you know?
I started writing poetry, I think, in 1995.
Uh-huh.
And that was because at the time I was going through grief, and now I'm the only surviving child of my parents,
mm-hmm.
and my late cousin, we were so close, so she passed away, and for me at that time it was I couldn't cry, I couldn't express my grief in the normal way that people do. So I found myself writing during that week. I wrote something and I shared it with my aunt, and my aunt asked me, no, you can actually read this as tribute
mm-hmm.
to her. And would you like to do that? And I said no, but the day of the funeral, I told my aunt that I think I can do it, and that's how it started, and I got positive feedback, you know, and the next thing is that I was just doing my 9-to-5 at the pharmacy, and my teacher he's also late now, came to fill up a prescription, and as I was dispensing, he just told me he was working at the Department of Arts and Culture mm-hmm. in my hometown, and he told me about the Writers Festival, and he was just like, but you were always like a good reader and a good storyteller at school, and why don't you just come and give it a try? And I shared that poem that I wrote for my cousin and the others that I wrote. So that's how the journey started.
That's amazing. That is so amazing to see, like, you know, a woman for another woman, and, you know, that place that we always hold. You talked about cousin. It reminded me, I have a cousin, and I had a cousin, and she was very close to me as well. She just, you know, the youngest sister I never had. She was that youngest sister, you know, and she passed away in March. And this month is a month which brings loads of memories, yes. because she was shot at.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, on 8th of March. I'm sorry too for your loss. And you know, it's just to see all around the world there's such amazing souls, amazing women, beautiful women. And you know, all we can do is just grieve for them not being here. So, do you only write poetry, or you also write stories or something, you know, like something short?
Yeah, I also write prose, mm-hmm. and I do storytelling for children.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's amazing. How did you come into storytelling?
I would say storytelling for me came naturally because my grandmother is a storyteller, mm-hmm. and just through oral tradition, and we'll find that during the winter season we'll all huddle. I wrote a poem about in tribute to my grandmother, but in a nutshell, we'll all huddle together, and then they'll be around the stove, and it was a coal stove. And my uncle would make the fire, and we will all, after bathing and eating, we'll all sit there, and she would be telling stories of her upbringing, and she and my aunt used also to tease her and say that you that place of yours where the pumpkins were chasing
wow.
people who were coming to steal. So that's how we grew up with that kind of oral tradition, and, yeah. and also clan praising, whereby from generation to generation,
yeah.
we would be taught how to sing our clan praises,
mm-hmm.
and we would recite them at weddings, at funerals, and at cultural events. So that's how storytelling came. And of mm-hmm. course at school they also used to be storytelling competition, mm-hmm. which I used to enter, hence my former teacher
mm-hmm.
reminded me of that and invited me to the Writers Festival.
That's amazing. So Just out of curiosity,
yeah.
how is life for women in South Africa? Just, you know, from your eyes, how does, because many, like, I have a friend from South Africa, and from her, I know that it's a very diverse culture.
Yeah.
And at one point, South Africa has accepted a lot of people from India, Pakistan, who went there and, you know, started their life and things like that. But South Africa has been in turmoil for a very, very long time.
Yeah.
And, you know, like colonizations and then internal wars and, you know, all kind of disruptions. Like,
yeah.
though it's a very, very beautiful country, it's always been in some kind of, you know, in some kind of disruption. But I've seen that in every country, among all of what is going on, women have their own life, you know, their own life, their own peace, their own war. So how, in your own opinion, how is South Africa for women? What's South African women life?
I would say that the dynamics are quite different. The the struggle is different now. Back then, it was the in the 60s, it was the struggle of women fighting to be able to be homeowners. Mm-hmm. You know, fighting for equal rights. Mm-hmm. And now that after the post-apartheid, mm-hmm. now that we have all freedom of expression, and but now the struggle is still different. It's women now are faced with gender-based violence. They are going through femicide. Mm-hmm. They are still going through all manner of oppression. And I would say that South African woman, and I'm blessed by this trait that we are very courageous, and we are very resilient, and we like the phrase says we hold the knife at its edge, but still that doesn't make it okay for women to be at the receiving end. Women and children are not safe at all now at the current South Africa. They are going through femicide. The children are going through abuse. They are being, there is no respect of life. So my daughter, I've got a 5-year-old daughter, and even myself, mm-hmm. I wouldn't count myself safe living in South Africa. And women in South Africa are very much ambitious. You know, there's nothing that they cannot do. They are quite cultured. They are quite affluent. They are quite quite learned, mm-hmm. and they're artistic. However, the society that people find themselves living in South Africa now, it's mm-hmm. it's quite turbulent. It's full of crime. It's and even the political instability. Mm-hmm. So I would say that to be a woman in South Africa, you have to literally have 9 lives.
Wow. You know, we on this show, we mostly talk about, you know, like issues related to women, related to immigration, to become refugee, to become immigrants, to seek asylum. Many people are of this idea that maybe some part of the world, people just think, oh, it's a good idea. Let's just leave from this place and go another place, because in that country, government is just giving free money. That is just the ideology of some people who don't have enough information.
Yeah.
And as you said, you see, we need to improve our awareness about different countries, different cultures, what's going on there, how is life for a local person in there. And it is not easy to leave your own country, like what you know, like yeah. from the earth that we are born. Like it's like our ancestors' bones are buried there, you know, yeah. that's the land that we know. And but we have to say goodbye to it and then come to another country, and it is not an easy decision.
Not at all.
Yeah, you just so like the same way you said that you just had to pack up and say, well, this is the only country that I can go to, so I have to make this difficult decision,
yeah.
and go there. So how has your life in a suitcase been? Like what you felt as a woman leaving all you knew behind, you know, just leaving politics and leaving all what's going on in the world behind, just your own feeling as a woman. How did you feel leaving all everything you knew behind, coming to a totally new fact, new life that you had no idea how it's going to be?
It was a bit overwhelming because you mourn. It's a life of mourning. Yeah. Sorry. Excuse me. You mourn the culture that you left behind.
Mm-hmm.
You mourn the family time that you don't have. You mourn the richness of your own food and the texture. You basically it's scary.
Yeah.
It's scary because now you you are in, you're no longer in your comfort zone, whereby you've got all the support system. And if I may refer to myself, because coming here, I am currently under direct provision, and it's a system where a housing system where you are placed somewhere with different types of people. We are all strangers there,
yeah.
And we are sharing living spaces, and we've got different cultures, we've got different belief system. And it was very, very hard. It was very, very hard, and also trying to assimilate as well into the society, and also trying to be a parent as well, and trying to be in the present while you are facing all the turmoil within and without, and also having also to deal with the reports that you see on the news and that you hear from your family members, the surviving family members on the phone. So I would say that it became life in a suitcase for me. Initially arriving here, it became more spiritual. I am a spiritual person, but it became more spiritual in terms of surviving, and in terms of just keeping a headspace that is clear. Mm-hmm. And I would say that also music,
mm-hmm.
and literature for me became my sounding board, the rock upon which I could just lean on and just say that, you know, yeah, I am grounded and this is my lifeline. So it was my faith and the arts that really kept me swimming upstream, but it's not an easy
that's
thing
true.
To navigate.
That's true. And many of our guests who came on the show, especially women,
yeah.
I noticed that for us it's a different feeling.
Yeah.
For men it's a different feeling. And for women, we, as you said, we just mourn for what we have left. We also mourn for what we don't know is coming in
yeah.
front of us.
Yeah.
We mourn for our children, for our family, and for all the things we wished it could be. It is not there anymore.
Yeah.
So that's really amazing. So we are going to, you know, I'm going to play another song, I think this show is very emotional both for me and for Neo, because this is an emotional month and today is a very emotional day. It's a stormy day, even the weather is emotional. So we are going to play another song and let's enjoy this song, and we'll be back in a few minutes. Enjoy. I'm gonna go get some more.
I wanna see you sing, I wanna see you fight, 'cause you are the real beauty of human rights. Ooh, makeba, makeba, makepela, gala gala. Ooh, makeba, makes my body dance for ya. Ooh, makeba, makeba, makepela, gala gala. Ooh, makeba, makes my body dance for ya. Nobody can beat the Mama Africa. You follow the beat that she's gonna give ya. Only her smile can all make it go. The separation of a thousand more. Ooh, makeba, makeba, makepela, gala gala. Ooh, makeba, makes my body dance for ya. Ooh, makeba, makeba, makepela, gala gala. Ooh, makeba, makes my body dance for ya. Ooh, makeba, makeba, makepela, gala gala. Ooh, makeba, makes my body dance for ya.
Okay, welcome back to the show. It's almost 35 minutes past four, and we are having a lot of fun. We are going flowing through the sea of emotions, and now I hope this song has brought up, you know, some happiness, waken up some happiness in you all. Yeah, it definitely did to us. So now, as I was telling you, in this show, I love My Life in a Suitcase, because here we always talk about two sides of a coin, two parts of one person's life. And every guest who comes on this show leaves us with an amazing message of how we should never lose hope and how we should always keep moving forward because of their bravery and the stories that they have. This show, I remember first time me and Sally-Ann, we started this show and we talked about bravery for the first show. It's not easy to start your life in a suitcase and knowing that it's going to be in a suitcase all your life. So, but you did very well for yourself, Neo. You started a difficult life, but you have made an amazing name for yourself. You are well known in cultural societies in Ireland, especially in Cork. You have received so many awards, and it is, you know, it fills my heart with pride that I'm sitting in front of you and I have this privilege to meet you. Tell us about all your work in Ireland. How did you turn all the story around?
Thank you. I am equally inspired by you, Doctor. And I would say how I got started in Ireland, because at that time my headspace, I was at the reception center in Dublin. So I think it was just about 2 months after I had arrived, and my baby was 9 months during that time, and I was still breastfeeding and all. So I wasn't in a headspace of doing anything. I was still trying to just adapt, and I would say God sent the two ladies came to the center where I was staying, and they had a program. They were from Outlandish Theatre, Maud and Benny. They had a program where they were holding workshops and just engaging the woman through the art, through their project was called Wow. So I would say that's how I was actually discovered, because myself, I was just like still in my shell and still trying to, you know,
Yeah.
Yeah, still in the preening season. like the eagle, they go there a time yeah. when they just go into
the mountains
and just start plucking off their feathers. You know, feathers, I was just yeah. yeah, and I was just like oiling myself and just, you know, trying to. And they told me about their program, and I joined, and then they were looking for, they encouraged us to write stories, and then I wrote a short story, and I remember Maud telling me that you need to start writing stories about where you are at, and that's how I started. And then she introduced me to an amazing Irish woman, Fiona Bolger. Mm-hmm. She's an author and who later became my mentor, and Fiona actually paid, Maud actually paid for me to be on Fiona's creative writing workshops. Mm-hmm. And that's how it started. And before long, Fiona encouraged me to start applying and sending in my work. Mm-hmm. And then I got the award for the Play It Forward, and yeah. it started there. And Play It Forward also opened many other doors so that I can be able to present my work mm-hmm. my work at various literature festival.
Yeah,
and I would say that because of all those networks, you know, the blessing about Ireland is that. They really celebrate and they really celebrate and literature. It, you know, there's a hub of events that are really encouraging literature. Literature would never die in Ireland, and that's what excited me. And before long, someone would tell someone about me or send someone for me something for me to apply. Mm-hmm. And the reception was good. So that's how I started off, and then I'm here.
That's amazing. And you know, it seems like quick, but I know it wasn't that quick, and it must be really painful, especially for you to get up and just, you know, just forget all what happened, start yeah. new with a child you know, being a mother at the same time. And That is very, very brave. What were the challenges that you faced and you overcome them?
I would say the challenge currently it's having like a workspace
yeah.
to do because of the living conditions that I'm at. So I would find myself after 3 a.m. prayer, I would wake up and read, and I would start researching or I would start writing depending on how where I'm at mm-hmm. in the creative space.
Yeah.
So normally my creative process are early hours. So because of that time, everyone is sleeping.
Yeah, and it's just you and nature and peace.
Yeah, so basically that's how. And I would say that another challenge was being a mother yeah. and also not having that support system of having, you know, in Africa we've got like huge families. Lots of aunts, lots of cousins, and you know. And we've got, and also the neighbors, there is this thing that it takes a village to raise a child, saying.
Yeah.
So one never felt alone. However, especially when I came to Cork, I found that the woman, you know, there was such a communal spirit between the woman from different cultures. And we would actually be each other's support system, and to a point that we would actually help one another to also babysit with child minding. Like now I left my daughter with my neighbor, and she is from Georgia. So there is just that that kind of communal space that never mind what we are going through, you know, we find some commonality in the difficulties that we are facing, and we share recipes, and the challenges are there. The challenges would always be there of shared living spaces, of people going through deportation and various aspects of direct provision, of people facing homelessness.
Yes,
they will always come, and it is through us standing together as women. That really helps us to pull through.
Yeah, especially nowadays, finding a house in Ireland is like really, really difficult. Really, really difficult. I have friends who are living in provision, direct provision centers. They've been there for 10 years and they're trying to find a house, but it's impossible. And they have been searching for many years. It's not like that they want to stay living there, but they don't have any other options. I have friends who were in provision centers, but then they were asked to leave and find their own space, and they couldn't find in space. Mm. So they were homeless, and they are homeless for a very, very long time. And some of them are lucky enough to get a house. Yeah. Some of them are not, and they're living in homeless centers. Some of them are living in tents.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, there is this wrong belief. There is this fake belief that when you are a refugee, you are getting everything for free. You are getting a house. You are getting food. You are getting money. But we have discussed on this show many, many times that awareness is very important.
It is.
Yeah, it's not like the moment somebody becomes a refugee or becomes an asylum seeker, especially in Ireland or any other country. Even when I was not a refugee and I was back home, we would always hear stories of how people are always getting free money when they go to another country. But all of this is just false. You know, this is just as stories made up, I don't know, for whatever reason. But when you are living that life, you understand, okay, no, this is not that. This is not how it was.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
It's not because of you. You have to manage the supplement used to be, it's about 38 euro. And for me at the time, I remember out of the 38 euro, actually paying to study, paying to do a business management diploma.
Yeah.
And I would pay 20 euro. I would save 20 euro every second week out of the 38 euro that I was getting weekly. And I wouldn't be left with much. So it's not easy. And it's not easy also to work on a 9-to-5, and I would say that I am quite blessed to have the arts, because it also gives me, you know, that flexibility also to also focus on my child, the raising my child, because if I have to go and work a 9-to-5, it would be the problem would be child mining.
And child mining is more expensive than work.
For child mining. So life is not easy for refugee. Unlike what the wrong perception that is out there, the myths that is out there. Life is actually much more difficult to get yourself established in a foreign country.
Definitely. So tell us, which do you have a favorite poem of all the poems that you have written? Anyone that is close to heart? Very, I'm sure all of them are, but one which is too close to heart.
Okay, the one that it's a lyrical poem. It's called "A Fanciful Flight." Fanciful Flight, and Yeah. So I was, it was just a summer morning. I think it was between May or June. Yeah, it was summer. So normally take my daughter to the park, and I had this brief encounter with a butterfly in the park, and I just wrote a verse or two. So I will recite this one. Fanciful flight, mild and musty morning, nourishes my heart. A walk in the park, clouds hanging up. For golden seconds, my eyes carry a burden of beauty. Wait, it's a peacock butterfly, a flutter with a majestic wings. Charming hose captures my heart. O morning that nourishes my heart, wish you'd linger longer.
So beautiful. That is so beautiful. Wow. Would you like to read another poem for us? Now I'm being greedy.
Okay. Let me do this one. 1 second. Actually, I had prepared myself to read a bit of a short story, but I'll read the poem.
Well, you have to read both now.
Both.
Yeah, please do. We would love to hear from you. To be honest, you know, yeah. It's amazing. It's amazing to hear such lovely words in such a calm environment.
Yeah.
You know, it's therapy.
All right. This one. Sanctuary. I carry a red carbon suitcase with a broken handle. A suitcase that carries many crosses. I remember the night before I boarded the flight to Ireland from South Africa. Right at the airport, the zipper of the suitcase busted. I had to think of a quick fix. I wrapped two of my waist belts around it and I pushed it to the side where it was plastic wrapped. I think I pulled the plastic wrap around 10 times because I didn't want to lose anything. Immediately, I thought of myself. Could this be a bad omen for the trip? Then I dismissed the thought immediately. I found myself praying for the journey. My heart was tied to grief of what has been and what was there ahead of me. Here I am, expectantly grasping onto what could be. In my adult life as a young professional, as much as possible, I prepared and made all the necessary arrangements. I had made a checklist of all the vital elements like health, insurance, having a fulfilling life, family, friends, having a social life. And I even made sure that I aligned myself spiritually. Now, I'm at the airport. This is a heavy price to pay, forsaking everything in pursuit of a sanctuary, staring at the unbearable uncertainty of whether I would be able to see my parents again. I remember in 1986 when I was 9 years old, I had my first encounter and consciousness of the turmoil in my country. I remember we were playing hopscotch with other girls my age in the backyard one midweek afternoon. Then suddenly, two men jumped up over the fence from the backyard and ran into our backyard shanty to hide. One of the men shouted at us to run inside the house and never to say that we saw them. The atmosphere was filled with dense smoke from the burnt fires. The protest songs resounding loudly drew nearer. The protest march was in Dingane, the main street behind our four-room township house. Before long, there were sounds of siren, and my eyes and my nose began to itch. Mom called us to come, and she said to my friends to stay inside, not to touch the door handle. I complained to my mom about my burning eyes. She said it must have been from the effects of the tear gas in the atmosphere. Mom wet the cloth, then she wiped my eyes. Afterwards, she pressed the same cloth against my nose to inhale. I told Mom of the two men who were hiding in the shack. She told me not to worry, as they were also seeking a sanctuary. They needed to be safe. I am a black woman, a mother of two. I'm the firstborn of two children. My mom and dad were ballroom dance partners, although I have two left feet. I come from a diamond mining city, characterized by dry climate, extreme thunderstorm, and sometimes sandstorm. I love to try new things. I value the beauty of the human soul. I love seeing justice prevail, and I'm quick to realize every little nuance of those looks of being scaled down and surveyed by inquiring eyes every time I enter into an expensive shop. Then I grit my teeth in frustration and roll my eyes subliminally at the thought of being profiled racially. Otherwise, being given extra attention due to the unconscious biases. I believe that equity is power, and every human being should be treated with respect. I believe that class is not limited to financial stature, influence, or social prestige, but class to me is how people relate to one another with tolerance. I carry a suitcase with broken handles. I carry a suitcase with many crosses. I carry a suitcase with wells filled with hope.
Wow, that was amazing, Neo. That was amazing.
Thank you.
Wow. It's the most beautiful words I've heard in a very long time, and it's really amazing.
Thank
especially
you.
The part with the suitcase. It's so true and so perfect. Wow. The time flew by. I think we need more time. You know, like you should come again. You have to come again, because we need a totally another episode to talk about your short stories, to hear short stories, to talk more about your literary capacities, and about your ideology of the world and what's going on in the world and how we can fix it as women. You know. So sadly, the time today has ended, but you
time
have
flew.
To promise me, yes, time flew, but you have to promise me that you will come back again,
yeah.
And that will be very soon. So today we had a lovely, lovely, today we had a lovely and amazing time with Neo Florence Gibson.
Yes.
Thank you very much for coming to our show.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
It was a privilege for me, and it was I'm just speechless. I cannot say anything. I'm in a very good space right now. My mind is so happy with this song, with this poem that you have read for us, and with the true emotion, and it is your true experience, and it's okay. I'm not going to say anything more. So anyways, we'll be here next week, next time, with another amazing woman. And by that, let's enjoy the last song of the week today. It is also Neo's happy song, because she has sang it a few days back. And hopefully when we will have her next time with us in the show, she will sing something for us as well. So by then, enjoy. Have a lovely week. Stay safe, stay indoors, and stay warm.